Max, is that you?
David, I'm sorry I got cut off, but I called you on my cell. We can stay on this if you want, or you can call me back, either one.
No, this is great. In fact, we're on the air right now. I didn't realize I lost you, but here we are. People heard the phone ringing on the mic, so let's just make sure we've got you loud enough. Anyway, congratulations, first of all, on the success of the Screwtape Letters, which I guess the fact of its commercial viability may have been a surprise to you.
It certainly was in the beginning, but that's because I may have underestimated the popularity of C.S. Lewis, certainly with Narnia. But I think Screwtape after Narnia may be his most influential work. And given that, the fact that we were true to the book and really wanted to lift it up off the page and give it a thoroughgoing theatrical treatment, I think people responded.
Can I ask, I kind of gave a synopsis of the play earlier in the previous half hour, but it's a pretty simple thing to synopsize. So why don't you tell us what the Screwtape Letters is about?
Well, the genius of the Screwtape Letters is that Lewis had in mind that he wanted to speak in the devil's voice. He wanted to get inside the skin of the devil. After studying medieval literature, studying the Bible, studying theology, he had an understanding of what the devil was, what his objective and his goals were. And he had the audacity, I think, to speak in that voice. And that's the genius of the Screwtape Letters, because you and I witness human activity, human behavior, from a human point of view all the time. Mm-hmm. But we don't, the uniqueness of the book is that you are looking at human activity from a demon's perspective. And a very, very smart demon.
Oh, I was going to say, we had that with 8 years of George Bush, but until you got to the very, very smart part, but yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
And I think that's what makes, I think that's what makes this so engaging to an audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess that's what attracted you. What made you think it was not a commercial viable, but viable as a stage piece? I mean, not only is it a book, it's an epistolary book. It's all in letters form. Like, actually, Liaison d'Angereuse is like that.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I watched that as part of my preparation for Screwtape, as well as rewatching Silence of the Lambs, and recalling in my youth an extraordinary performance of Iago by the British actor Frank Finlay opposite Laurence Olivier's Othello. So I knew that the character, that Lewis had written an extraordinary literary character that would be an actor's dream if he could master it. And so the challenge, of course, was dealing with that extraordinary language. And that was the case. I mean, the plot is simple. Mm-hmm. Screwtape is a demon. He has an apprentice, Wormwood. Screwtape is a very high level demon, very successful, and Wormwood is a neophyte demon just starting out. He just graduated from the Tempter's Training College, and he was assigned a tempership on Earth, and his first assignment is called in the book the patient. Mm-hmm. And the patient, you know, that's an interesting term, because when you and I use the term patient, we think of somebody going to the hospital in need of healing. In Screwtape's vernacular, a patient is someone in need of corrupting, in need of being damned. And so the whole plot of the play is how to use the simple things of life to corrupt this person and bring him to hell as food, hunt for a soul. But what makes it engaging is the extraordinary language, extraordinary insight that Lewis has given Screwtape.
Well, that and, I mean, don't discount the fact that it has this narrative arc that we're wondering, will he win or will he lose? I mean, that really pulls us through. It's a relatively short show. I think it's about 75 minutes. If I recall,
yes, that's right, and you're right, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that does not come through when you read the novel, because when you read the novel, or at least it is there, but it's hidden. And of course, what theater does, theater's looking for an arc. It's looking for, you know, what's at stake here, and why should I care?
Right, exactly,
and that's the arc of the play, because the journey that Screwtape takes, which we follow as an audience, is, you know, he's on the top of his game. Here's another patient. This guy's easy peasy. I'll bring out, you know, basically elementary temptation techniques, and we'll be done by noon.
I'm laughing, but that's a very funny way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah, but what tends to happen is, the enemy becomes a serious Christian, and now the patient becomes a serious Christian,
right.
And that brings into play Screwtape's enemy, which, of course, in the play is God.
Right.
And so then there's becomes a little bit of a dualistic fight over the future of this patient's soul.
Right. Can I ask,
because
people should also know that this isn't quite just a non-ordinary role for you. You have done a lot of kind of theological, biblical-based stuff. You would you consider yourself a born-again Christian or a Christian? What's your denomination, as it were?
I remember somebody asked a friend of mine that question, and it's probably going to take us in a different direction, but we don't have to go there. But he said, are you a born again? He was asked, are you a born again Christian? And his response was, that's like asking, are you a tooth dentist? By definition, in terms of what it means to be a Christian, that's what it is. It's a new experience. It's a new life. And so so the answer is yes, of course. And Lewis was a major influence in that. And what I love about Lewis is, with regard to this subject, was Lewis, he came to Christianity with great difficulty. He came from atheism, and he genuinely knew in his writing what it was like not to believe. And he could, he could never see himself in a position of someone who's untroubled by doubts, and just simply hands out the faith. And so that's why a lot of, people that have, fought through it, that sort of are half convinced, as it were, really gravitate to Lewis, because when you see him, and if you're not of the faith, you still get, you still say, wow, the guy really has insight into theology, insight into philosophy, insight into psychology, and he has something to say to me, whether or not I agree with his worldview.
Well, really well put. And it's interesting that you mention C.S. Lewis's climb towards faith, if that's what you want to call it, or his, because that does mirror a little bit, at least from what I read, your experience in your teens. You were not, I don't think, raised particularly religiously, and then you kind
of... I was a mid-20s convert.
Mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah, mid-20s convert, and I read the New Testament, really moved by it, and then someone gave me Lewis's autobiography called Surprised by Joy, which I have to admit, I didn't understand a word of it. It was way over my head.
Okay.
But the second book they gave me, this was in my mid-20s, was not an easy read, but it certainly got my attention. I said, "Oh my goodness, I know this guy."
Let me ask you a question about that, because at least from what I glommed from your production and your adaptation of the Screwtape Letters is that it is more about doing unto others and experiencing real love and being kind to your fellow man and caring more about your fellow man than yourself, which is a humanistic approach to life rather than directly involved in Jesus and the Gospels and Christianity. I'm wondering why you chose very specific religious text and dogma to follow rather than the humanistic angle.
Well, I guess that's a kind of a chicken and egg argument, isn't it? Do we have the religious impulse that leads us to humility, kindness, and goodness, or is it a human construct that says, hey, if we're going to get along in this life, you know, we got to be, we got to, you know, cooperate a little bit.
Hmm.
And I've come to the conclusion that it's the former rather than the latter because, and again, we're getting into a theological or a philosophical debate. I love Fyodor Dostoevsky said, you know, if God does not exist, then everything is permissible. And that essentially means that, you know, that the person in power makes the rules. And there's no judge higher than him. And this was, of course, Immanuel Kant's position that the moral argument that, you know, we can't philosophically prove the existence of God, but morality does break down without it because we don't, you know, we're saying we're not accountable. We can do whatever we want. And because there's no accountability for our life. So, but given your question,
Yeah. That's
why I was attracted to Lewis, because Lewis came from a religious perspective. He felt that the ability to love and the ability to treat others well is kind of a means of grace, and it's something that we have to exercise. We have to be absolutely conscious of. Now, I'm not suggesting that atheists or non-theists don't practice this, but I am suggesting that I'm not sure if there is a total, and this, of course, is been argued in college campuses all over the country, if there is a rational reason for doing so other than self-interest.
Yeah.
And when you land in self-interest, then at some point in time, it's in my self-interest to lie. It's in my self-interest to treat David Lefkowitz like a bastard. Whatever reason. But it's not today, of course. But from a theological perspective, I may treat you like a bastard, but okay. If I do, I'm accountable for treating you like a bastard. I've got to answer for it
to someone higher up. Do you believe, I guess we can throw this to both C.S. Lewis and you. Do you believe in a literal, I guess, devil and literal angels, or is that all metaphorical? And yes, we believe
that's
in God.
A great question. That's a really good question. You know, we think, what's that great word, anthropomorphically. You know, we think in visuals. So, therefore, we tend to, when we want to explain something, we have to give it a visual representation.
Right.
So I think that's kind of what happens. And, of course, some people, you know, take it far, far too literally. I do believe that there is a kind of a dualism, that there is forces of good and forces of evil, and of course that's the center of Screwtape. You know, are you going to listen to the good guy or are you going to listen to the bad guy?
Right.
You know, scene, and I love the way Lewis does it. He does it in very simple metaphors, like the guy in the British Museum, very first scene after the toast, where he's obviously reading something that's got his interest at a very, very deep level, and it's obviously religious, and Screwtape has said, you know, I was seeing 20 years' work about to topple, I was no fool, because I struck instantly at the part of the man that I had best under my control, and I suggested that it was, isn't it just about time for lunch? And the idea was to get him into the immediate sensual experience so he doesn't think about God,
right,
and think about universal issues, but he's living his life under the immediate sense experiences of feel, touch, taste, eat, drink, you know, whatever lets you be guided by your tummy.
I know I am.
And then he went, and so am I, by the way.
Right.
But it's something that, you know, at some point in time we have to set aside.
Now we're talking with Max McLean. He is the co-adapter and star of the Screwtape Letters off-Broadway. He happens to be this weekend. Are you doing that show in North Carolina or something else?
Yes.
Oh, so you're doing Screwtape there. It's an open run in New York, isn't it? Am I right?
Yes. Yeah, what we do is we have a series of runouts. We have two teams, two productions. We have a touring production, and we have a New York production, and my understudy's on in New York. He's very good, Stephen Hawke. And I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the Raleigh Memorial Auditorium for a show at 4 o'clock Eastern Time today and 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And then I'll go back, I'll fly back tomorrow, and I'll do the 7 o'clock Sunday show in New York.
But as I said, this will certainly go through Christmas and well into the new year if people want to catch Screwtape Letters it's at the West Side Theater off Broadway, am I right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, West Side Theater on 43rd and 9th, and we'll be there through the end of the year, probably first week, second week of January, then we'll make some decisions if we want to go past that.
Now, also, people can listen to that very great voice of yours in other circumstances. You are the narrator of something called The Listener's Bible. Is this a radio show,
yes,
or is that an audio?
Well, it's an audio recording of the Bible.
Cool. Okay, yeah. And that's, there's also something that you do regularly, isn't it? Where you update it week by week, almost like an audio blog of some sort about biblical matters. Am I wrong on this?
No, I don't think that. I think what you might be referring to is a lot of radio, over 600 or 700 radio stations, mostly religious stations, have they've taken up, you know, the Bible that I've recorded, and they've broken it up into like 3-minute pieces, and they do like a little segment of it. And so that's been airing around the country for about 15 or 20 years, and I'm just very grateful that stations do that.
Now, have you acted in secular stuff? Because the stuff that I have mostly for you is you did Mark's Gospel in Chicago. You won a Jeff Award, actually, for doing that. But I'm wondering, have you done secular pieces over the past 10, 15 years? And have you turned down stuff? Because, yeah, sorry, please.
Yeah, no, in the last 10 or 15 years, you know, I have really focused on this vision of presenting theater from a Christian worldview that engages a diverse audience. And what I mean by that is I want to pick material that is engaging in itself, you know, that has a story to tell, it's told well, it uses language well, and then bring to bear the elements of stagecraft that allows it to, as it were, compete in the marketplace of ideas. Because you know, you came to New York, you saw how many shows are running, and the entertainment marketplace is intense. And so, just to get a fair hearing, you've got to have a unique message. You've got to tell it well. And that's what I've been focusing on for the past 10 years.
And you've been able, happily, to carve out a living and a career doing that, which is kind of, I assume. I mean, or you don't have a day job.
That's a joy. That's an absolute joy doing. It really is. I mean, I feel blessed. That's a strong word. Somebody used that word the other day, and I said, you know, that's a very strong word, and he said it is. I feel very blessed.
And are you, I wasn't able to find this information, are you married, kids?
I've been married, I have one wife, two kids, one grandbaby.
Well, you're keeping the one wife that you have.
Yes, one wife, yes, yep, I'm not quite a polygamist.
Okay, that's a different religion altogether, yeah.
Yeah, that we'll have to have another discussion on that. But and just so you know, when we have this discussion and you do your research on it, I'm against it.
You're against
polygamy.
Oh, okay. Just I was wondering if you were against divorce.
That was a joke.
Oh, I get it. I'm sorry. I was already looking towards the next question, and I was not properly listening. The devil was in my other ear. Because my other question that people might not know about you, but I did get this from my research. You were born in Panama, and I'm wondering if you remember anything, because you were moved when you were 4 years old. But do you remember anything about Panama?
I have very vague recollections, but what I do recall was the seeing, we came by boat when I was 4 years old from Colon, Panama. That's the port on the Atlantic, on the Caribbean side. And it was a 9-day boat ride, my mom tells me. And I remember a very foggy September day going into New York Harbor, seeing the Statue of Liberty, seeing the big buildings of New York as a child. And that was like, what's this?
So you really have that sense, even though you were 4 years old, you really have that
memory. That was a very vivid memory. That kind of what's this memory.
Huh. And a quick question. If you were born in Panama, did you have to get, are you an American citizen, or are you automatically, because Panama's kind of that, I don't know.
I was naturalized. I was naturalized when I was 8 years old.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
So we have been talking with Max McLean, Panamanian born, but pure American, and very proud Christian person who is doing the Screwtape Letters off-Broadway at the West Side Theater on West 43rd Street. And any other thoughts that you want to leave us with? Any kind of religious or secular or any kind of thought that doing the kind of theater that you do would make you want to tell us?
Well, I think what I'm really pleased about is someone like yourself, David, flies to New York, looks at the various shows that are available, and I'm sure you saw more than one, and you chose ours, and thought it compelling enough to call our publicist and say, any chance I can interview Max McLean, and I think I'm really happy you did that. Thank you.
Well, so am I. It's been absolutely a delight. I think this is the first time in the whole history of the show, which is now 8 years old, that we're actually talking about Immanuel Kant. I've never read him, but it's so great to talk about him, I'll tell you that. So, Max McLean, you are certainly very angelic to be with us here in the neighborhood on Dave's Gone By. Everybody go see the Screwtape Letters, and maybe if it doesn't go on past the New Year in New York, maybe that's a good sign for it to come around the country so people can see it in other places, like in North Carolina this weekend. So best of luck with that, and best of luck with all of the things that you're doing theatrically.
Thank you, David. Just one last comment.
Okay.
We are doing a series of runouts in 2011 all over the country, you can find out about those at our website, screwtapeonstage.com.
Thank you for reminding me. I totally forgot to ask about the website, screwtapeonstage.com. onstage.com. Max McLean, thanks so much.
Thank you.